An interview with Thomas M. Rowan, Jr., 620 West 7th Place, Long Beach, California. The date is April 12, 1982, and the interviewer is Ann Andrews. I'm interested in your parents, and their names, I think, were Thomas M. Rowan and Margaret C. Rowan.
Right.
Where were they born?
They were born in the state of Missouri. And then my father was born in 1897 in the Missouri. And my mom, during the Second World War, or the First World War, my mom went to Washington and worked for the Navy Department as a secretary, and my dad went off to France.
They were married at this time?
No. And this is before. They both knew each other naturally. We went to high school and so on and so forth. I returned in 1918, at the end of the war, and were married. And in fact, we were married on Christmas Eve in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and on their way to El Dorado, Arkansas, oil field. And my dad went to work.
Had he done anything in oil work?
No. He made some off of a farm. Well, no, the oil was new then, relatively new, and like everyone else, there was supposedly good money in it, and anyway, they were married. They went to El Dorado, Arkansas, and from there, later to Wilson, Oklahoma, which was a boom town at that time, right on the border of Oklahoma-Texas border, and my sister was born there in 1922, and she was born there, and then, of course, in 1921 was the discovery of oil here. Mm-hmm. My dad met a man who was quite active here in Long Beach, and his name is Sheridan Bales. I don't know if you've run across that name or not.
No,
well, Sheridan Bales came out here from Arkansas and Oklahoma with a drilling rig, and my dad had met him back in Oklahoma, and Sheridan talked my dad into coming out here and going to work in the Long Beach oil fields, which had been discovered, of course, in 1921.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Sheridan became very active in Hancock Oil Company.
Well, what year was it that your father came here then?
So they came in 1922, later, 22, 23. And I'm not sure just exactly the timing on it, but he came to work. My dad was just working as a roughneck in the oil field. Went to work for Jurgens Oil Company, as a matter of fact, up on that lease. And I remember my mom telling me they came into Los Angeles on the train and took the street car, down Long Beach Boulevard and got off at 7th and Long Beach Boulevard and took an apartment over the drugstore on the southwest corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walked from there to Sigma Hill. Every day.
Oh, there weren't any buses?
No, not at that time. It was a boom town. It was going booming, and then they later moved on down to the Belmont Shore.
What was the attitude of the people in Long Beach with all this influx of oil?
Well, I've only gotten later day comments on it. In other words, generally speaking, I think the oil workers were not considered an asset by the local populace. They were interlopers and going to dirty the town up, whatever. And of course it was looked at them different, I'm sure, by the people who had the oil lands. But there was a decided feeling against oil workers in general. But I don't think that lasted very long. That I know of. Because the oil then became too much of a factor in the city of Long Beach.
Mm.
Factor once was. The telling took it from a beach town to an industrial town. So,
where was the Jurgens field that it worked? Jurgens
oil field was right adjacent to the cemetery on Sigma Hill.
Oh, okay. It's on the west side of the hill.
West side of the Cherry Avenue Fault, right?
Uh-huh.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
And those were the larger wells.
Did he go to work just for Jurgens, and he would always be working for them, or was he available to work for some other?
He worked for a drilling crew. That's correct. And but then he went to work later. He went to work for Hancock Oil Company.
I see.
And became their drilling superintendent.
And so he really worked up.
That's right. And then in the early about 1931, he got his own rig and went into a drilling rig and went on into contracting. However, he had the misfortune of underestimating the depth of a hole here and went broke. And went back to Hancock, and then a couple years later, got another drilling rig and went off and started to as a drilling contractor.
Can you tell me what a drilling rig consists of?
Well, the drilling rig is in those days is a steam-powered unit to drill the hole. In other words, your depths on Signal Hill were down to 5,000 feet, and they were the drilling rig that you. The companies owned them outright, and they also had people like my dad who had rigs, and they would contract for my dad to dig a hole for so much a foot.
Oh, okay.
You'd contract out maybe $10 a foot. If it's 1,000 feet, it's $10,000, or $3 a foot, or whatever the going prevailing, whatever you thought as a drilling contractor, what you thought you could do it for.
How many men would he have working for him then?
Well, look, a drilling crew consists of five men plus, at any time, plus a superintendent.
Okay.
I mean, a tool pusher. And then, of course, it works around the clock, so you can multiply that by three crews. As your company gets along, I mean, they bought more rigs. Actually, that later on, I mean, that kind of left longer because, I mean, they got a contract all over the state.
You thought it did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I see. And but did a lot of work for Hancock because he'd been their superintendent, did a lot of drilling for them. I can remember as a little kid very distinctly that the well was still there on the bottom of Atlantic Avenue, Atlantic and Spring, and it would be the northwest corner.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was drilling superintendent for Hancock, and he was in charge of drilling that, because I remember going there. And then they had, that was right before the explosion, the Richfield compressor plant down in Signal Hill exploded, I guess it was 32, that you could check on. And my dad was still with Hancock at that time, during the period where he lost the one rig and went back to Hancock. And he lost one drilling crew in that explosion, a Hancock drilling crew. And he really didn't happen to be there at the time. He was at another rig site. But those were all close right near the city.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the impact, you asked me to give you the impact. I was too young to really know the real ramifications. I didn't. I mean, one thing about an oil worker, if they were working, during the Depression, they were well paid relative to other jobs.
Yes.
Now, naturally, they weren't the job was scarce, but once they worked, they were well paid. It was considered a good job to get at that time.
Yes, I've heard stories of people who were affected by the Depression, and then because they were able to get a job in the oil fields, were able to.
Right. No, that's for some reason the pay scale was quite adequate, always was, wasn't until maybe even the Second World War, but then pretty soon other industry jobs started to catch up. And plus the disagreeable fact that drilling crews, you work hours, you're on 1 week at 4 in the afternoon to midnight, and next week midnight to 8, and next week 8 to,
uh-huh.
to 4 in the afternoon, and that gets tiresome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a lot of them don't. I say now that it's hard to get food.
Well, your father obviously had a good relationship with Hancock.
Oh, very good. Oh, yes. In fact, at that time, in the early part of the Depression, they paid my dad in stock because they didn't have any money.
Oh, I see.
And the companies were very close to bankruptcy. I mean, all of them. I mean, there weren't any. And, yes, it's a... good line of contact would be, Linda Fleury?
No.
Well, she lives across from her dad, John Hancock.
Oh, I see.
And he, of course, would be able to give you a lot more.
Yeah.
He was younger than my dad, considerably, but in the company at the time my dad was.
Yeah.
Yes, that was another name that I've heard a lot about. Will. Well, I knew Will. Real well. And, yes, he was the factor in Hancock Oil. And then, of course, what's that other book, The Little Giant? Was that, you gotten a copy of that?
No, I haven't read it, but I know
about it. That's Sam Moses' book on, it's a putting his own horn a little bit, but nevertheless, effective. And there was a man that just moved out of here to Gilroy, and he would have been delighted to have talked to you, because his name's Al Ferry. I don't know if you...
No, I don't know that name.
Well, he was one of the very earliest geologists on Seymour Hill. About as knowledgeable as any man of all the history of...
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, now I'll let you go ahead with you.
Okay. Well, then your father's company was Rowan Drilling?
No, that was later. But first, it started out as he had a partner named E.F. Richards, Ed Richards. And it was Rickrow Corporation. And they built Rickrow.
Oh.
It was named after Richard Rowan.
I see.
And then later they got the drilling in all over the state, and they changed the name to Kern Drilling Company. And they did all kinds of development. I mean, drilling primarily in Kern County, but also down the harbor here in Long Beach. But my dad did bring in what they called. I told you that the drilling rigs in the early days here were steam.
Yes.
They boiler fed. Well, my dad brought the first power rig into the state of California, that being a gas powered by gasoline engines.
Oh.
Which allowed them a lot more flexibility. Like up in the desert where there's no water, it was very difficult to drill wells because they'd have to pipe. Well, even when with a spark plug rig, you had to do it, but there's nothing to lay a 2 or 3 inch pipeline for 20 to 30 miles just to get water to the rig site.
Okay.
Because you had to have it. And but anyway, the power unit with the spark plug was a lot more readily movable. It became, I mean, they gave up on steam afterwards.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, we had the first portable derrick here, that's all they use now. Are there any derricks still around Long Beach?
I'm not sure there are.
I don't think there are either. Have you seen that book called Yesteryear?
Yes.
Yes,
that model
picture.
Yes,
that's right. Right.
Yeah.
And but anyway, because that's exactly what I remembered as a kid. And but anyway, they started the Kern Drilling Company in the early 30s and carried on until he died. And he was fairly young, 56 when he died.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, it then did, from there, went all over the Philippines. And built for the Philippine Oil Development Company.
Oh, I see.
After the war. And he actually furnished the crews that went over before the war, and they were either captured or became guerrilla fighters in the jungle in the Philippines.
Was that for private consumption for developing oil?
Oh, yes. No,
it wasn't a government.
Oh, no. It was a company called Far East Oil Development, or Philippine Oil Development.
Uh-huh.
And they're still operating. They haven't been overly successful in the discovery of new oil, but they've been going on for over 30 years.
He's probably certainly an innovative man, wasn't he?
The oil industry had the advantage of the men who knew how to do it, or the technical knowledge. At that time, they came up through the field. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they were the men who knew it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there was no place in college that you could... Or school, you can get this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that isn't so. I mean, in other words, they want, if you go to work for a large drilling company, they'll either want you to be a petroleum engineer or an engineer, and need to be. Because
mm-hmm.
it's become highly sophisticated and considerably more technical. However, I would say the the oil business was the last frontier where a man could come in and make it on his own without, as you might say, a formal education.
Mm-hmm.
My dad did not get the chance to go into a college.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of them did. Lee didn't. They just didn't need it at that time. And like all oil business, is based a great deal on luck and good fortune. And, but anyway, you're, as far as you're drilling here on Signal Hill, there were several, there were several independent kind of drilling contractors like my dad, Edwards, Lee and Edwards, his original one, and then, let's see, Keck, who later became Superior Oil, Superior Oil Company, and all these families, up on the family's names up on these leases, like the Haas and the Love Lady Pool and all these are landowners, and some of them became active in the drilling business, in the oil development themselves. Baytons. These are names, I know the people, but I can't. This is why I should, you should get hold of somebody more, more closer to the scene.
Yeah, somebody
who's
older.
Yeah. Right, that's right, I don't know. And do you know, I don't know what you're aiming at other than the impact on Long Beach. Gosh, I can tell you people who would be more than I'm going to talk to you. Elmer Decker.
Well, we'd love to talk to Elmer Decker.
Yeah.
We really would. I'm not so sure he wants to talk with us, but...
Why?
Well, there was a young lady who tried to interview or did talk with him for the publication, the Long Beach Heritage publication, the Junior League.
Right, I've seen that.
And he didn't want her to even take notes. He didn't want to be coached.
Why?
But, that might have just been an individual.
No, I think it was John Hancock, like I say. It would have been good as a... then as far as the supply end of the business goes, there's a John Phillips, still active on the Hill.
He's talked to Bob Jones at Midway.
Okay. Bob's a good one. That's right. Eddie Hiles. And as far as the guy knows quite a bit about it, because his dad was closely associated, and that's Bill Creed.
Mm-hmm.
Bill would be very good. At least it gives you some leads to names, too.
Mm-hmm.
May or may not know, was a lawyer, also, and was instrumental in writing and developing a good amount of our oil field law that's still...
Mm-hmm.
It was pioneered by his law and legal system.
I see.
And Bill keeps active on it. And
there are a lot of names that people who still live in the area, like the McCrae.
Bill and Art, yes.
And Mitchell.
Right. And, Decatur and Mitchell would certainly know. But Elmer would be as good as any. If you, I'm just trying to think. Let's see if I can help you here anymore.
Okay.
So.
Well, then you said that your father started that you did get into Harbor. Some of the drilling down at Long.
Oh yes. The Harbor came about 19. I believe I first started drilling down about 1939. And of course that opened up. That new oil field. I mean, that was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was considered. Not very good drilling for a drilling contractor because the price was so. But they said they couldn't get enough per foot because of the competition. And they were relatively easy wells to drill. At the time, they would drill several hundred feet in an 8-hour period. I mean, it was what we call easy digging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, it of course that had a tremendous impact on Long Beach. And
what was the group called? The Long Beach Oil Development?
LBOD, right.
Yeah, and who was in that?
Well, that was Hancock Oil was Will Reed. They put it together. Now again, I'm not sure of the men. I remember there was an early pile who ran it. I believe it says another, but it was really a brainchild of Hancock Oil Company, and in order to get the oil properly developed down there at
mm-hmm,
that time,
mm-hmm.
and all the legal ramifications and how the city operated. Well, there's another one. Have you talked to Lenny Brock?
No, I'm not familiar with him.
Well, Lenny Brock is your one that just retired with your oil.
Oh, yes, yes, I recognize the man now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's my age, but he's been around it so long that he would know more about that phase of the city phase of it than anyone else.
Well, then this is when you get into the drilling of the harbor, then you get into the problem that arose in the 50s of subsidence.
Oh, subsidence, yeah. Very definitely.
Now, was your company involved in any way with any of these?
Well, no, other than just that we were involved. I mean, my dad was involved in drilling, which ultimately quite obviously got about the subsidence, although, you see, most oil men at the first did not believe that subsidence was caused by oil removal, but it probably wasn't caused by oil removal, it was caused by the removal of the gas.
Oh, I see.
Because historically speaking, any oil fields, particularly in coastal oil fields, are in the minute you pump the oil out, followed by water.
Uh-huh.
So you really have you're not creating a vacuum, except in the gas, evidently did. I'm not familiar, but quite obviously, the removal of the oil field was the cause of it. And Richfield was the first one to recognize it as admit it as such. And but yes, the only trouble, the only thing you say my dad to be involved, he did drill.
So your father did not own any wells down in the
harbor. Oh, we had some part interest in wells, but only as a minor percent holder. It was pretty. See, that was pretty well drilled by major oil companies.
Oh, I see.
And all over the city.
Yeah. Is that part of the thing? Did your father do that? If he drilled and prepped, he would get a minor interest in.
Oh yes, depending on not so much here in Long Beach, because these were developed fields. I mean, you already knew there was oil here, so you're not too many people willing to give you a percentage. They wanted to give you a percentage on a wildcat which. He did, and sometimes he's successful, and other times not.
Yeah.
Just no matter how much his fees that he wanted to gamble on the completion and outcome of the hole.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, the drilling business, as I say, was like any other business in the Depression era, was very tough. Long Beach was typically by the middle 20s, and really was more of a development. I mean, you had your step outs, like out through Lost Street this year, and then, of course, later your harbor, which is an entirely different oil field. I mean, it's from, say, 1928 on, was primarily just developing the existing field in Long Beach and or in Signal Hill, with the extensions clear from here to out to Lost Street this year, and a little bit over on the east slope of the hill, not extensive, but some. And then they had a few little extensions up to around Wardlow, and later on Wardlow and Cherry Avenue. You had some wells drilled up in there.
Yes, I've been some reading in some of the reports of the summary of operations for the California oil fields, and I guess the 1924-25, they started this Los Rivas extension, extension. But it seemed to have peaked about 26 and by 27, according to this report. It sort of declined. I mean, it sort of diminished. This is the end of it. But then about 28, 29, they went deeper over by Wardlow.
That's right, and got some bigger wells.
And so that whole area that we've got marked on our map is just covered with wells.
That's right. Well, not only that, yes, well, that's right. In fact, over where the Brethren Church is right now, that was they may still call it that. That was a Shackle Theory development, and it was and it was going to be a subdivision. Well, the ultimate it went it broke in the Depression, the real estate portion of it, and laid their they had the curbs and gutters and things like that in. But that those were big wells.
So this is where we're talking about.
Yeah, well, right in here. These were. And these were very powerful. I mean, very hot wells, they called them. Because I remember I lived on 36th Street over here in California Heights when I was up until 1938.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember being set in the window the night of the earthquake and looking over this way, and the fields were on fire through here.
Because of the earthquake?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
we
torched both pipelines and gas lines and started torching the fields, because they burned for several days all through.
Was it really a hazardous kind of a concern?
Well, I mean,
I hear about the horrible big fire on Signal Hill that one time. Which I don't remember.
Well, that was in the 50s.
Okay.
Every time. Oh, yeah. Well, sure. The earthquake, all it did was break pipelines. Yes, it was very, very, you know what a gas meter is? You see them up on the hill with the charts the flow of gas?
No.
Well, anyway, they have them all over the hill. It might be worth showing you. What they are is a piece of recording paper, like an earthquake thing for on a 24-hour period.
Yeah.
And it shows the flow of gas. And I have one, my partner has one, that's from Lamita Gasoline on the day of the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes off the chart right at the time of the earthquake and complete. And then acted like a seismometer.
Yeah. So this whole area then really was developed in the later period,
that's correct. And they were high, a lot of gas in these wells. That's they were big wells. That's what I said right here. They had a very serious blowout.
Pacific.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. George Johnson. Okay.
This corner too. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just under lease. There's no.
Oh, I see.
These are all abandoned.
Yeah.
Which was the limit, evidently. Look at that. See the those others. Now that we wanted to build on the country club, O'Donnell.
Yeah.
O'Donnell, let's give them O'Donnell.
So these were, did you say hot?
Yeah, they were power, I mean, they were, they had a lot of bottom hole pressures, and when these were drilled, they didn't have the controls then that they do now. But
I see.
In other words, it wasn't unusual up on Signal Hill to have a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happened regularly. And they were dangerous because they just couldn't control them at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a lot of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm amazed at this, I guess.
They update this map.
Yeah.
So that it's,
well, these are still producing, I see.
Hmm.
But anyway, now Bixby, south of Bixby. Yeah, there's still these wells all through there. Johnson, A.S. Johnson. I shouldn't see that name in here somewhere. George.
I love it when I see Getty's.
Yeah. A.S. Johnson building right there. I knew he had some wells in here.
Oh, he was a drilling contractor.
Yeah, he had a drilling contractor. Uh-huh. But he drilled for his own account.
Oh,
a lot of times. I mean,
uh-huh.
And
so these are all dry now, I think.
No.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. No. Some of these wells are still producing. You go right over on, go down Pacific and turn on to 37th, and you'll see it in here.
Mm-hmm.
Over on Atlantic here, Long Beach Boulevard, is there should be some catheter. Well, yeah, that make a difference. Now, that's our bush that would have something to do with the creek.
So the trolling club was built right about in the area.
Yeah, right up here.
The street wasn't cut through then, was it? Here's 36.
Here's 37.
Yeah, so the trolling club was...
The trolling club is right here on... where's the elm? Right here.
This would be right here. Oh, I see.
Would be the trolling club. 37th. Yeah, right here.
Do you know when that was built, sir?
Oh, the trolling club? Well, my trolling club wasn't built until in the 50s.
Oh, I see.
Much later.
Are you a member of the club?
I have been. I'm not anymore because I'm not active in the oil business other than...
Was your father one of the petroleum
pioneers? No. Yeah, he was old. Yes, he was a petroleum pioneer, but there was no petroleum club here. And he was here.
Oh, I see.
And, yes, he was a member of the petroleum pioneers.
Uh-huh.
And, so that was built in the 50s, and again, I'm not quite sure exactly, but there was nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
And the man who was instrumental in the building of the Trump Club was Fairfield.
Oh, yes.
Right. And
so did he own a lot of that land, do you think? So that's where the United Way headquarters
well,
the Fairfield building?
That's right. He bought it later. I don't think he owned so much at that time. Fairfield didn't have a great, he had a supply company here, but his oil, money made in oil was made up in different locations.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But anyway,
yeah, here's Effie Fairfield and Eddie Mitchell, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, taking here. Well, we pretty much talked about your dad, so now maybe I'll ask about you if I may.
Fine, okay.
You were born in Longview.
Right. Mm-hmm. 1926.
So were you born at Seaside Hospital?
Right. Yeah, like everyone else. And
and your family, you were living, you said,
on 36th Street, yes. Mm-hmm. And 36th and Dayton, and most of the, as I say, I have no recollection of any animosity in the oil.
No,
so that would be none. It was already well established by the time I was old enough to be. Yeah. And in fact, most of the people around here in this part of the town either were associated directly or indirectly benefiting from oil production and work. I mean, either as landowners or as the oil business itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.